guys. Welcome to the impromptu meeting of the Tortured Triumvirate, also known as Karma is a Pod. This is an emergent meeting that we're having due to some, like, insane events that happened earlier in the day that we absolutely have to talk about, and I'm really excited. Because I feel like it's just been one of those wildest days where you think it can't get better, but then it does, and I'm very excited to talk about it with you guys. So, I think we all know what we're talking about, but Zach, do you want to roll us into what happened today?
Yeah, the Eras Tour came back, and it was a triumphant return for Taylor on stage, and I would describe it as Eras Tour revamped, because it was a it was an altered version of the show, a new version of the show. Arguably, one might call a better version of the show. Some might not. That's a discussion for a later time. But we're talking the rearrangement of said eras and the addition of a new era to represent the Tortured Poets Department. Annie.
Yeah, I mean, well, I guess first off, did you guys think in advance that this was something that she was going to do, or were you completely surprised?
I think that I was definitely thinking that there was a chance that she would do it, but I did not think that it would be happening to this extent. Like, I definitely was not prepared to, like, look at my phone and see all the new outfits and, like, a huge Tortured Poets set, and even, like, combining Folklore Evermore. Like, that was crazy, but also just in the best way.
Yeah, I know that Zach had said earlier, so I was sort of, honestly, I was a little dubious that she was going to add it. I felt like we were all kind of in agreement that it was clear she didn't want to do, like, a separate tour for this album, but I was kind of dubious that, I mean, the tour is so, like, ultra rehearsed and ultra planned and, you know, very tight because it's so long that I just could not see her adding a significant section for a whole new other album. Zach did have a good theory that maybe she was just going to completely cut surprise songs and then maybe add, you know, two
That's
or three
TTPD songs. That's what I thought was going to happen.
But yeah, this was so far beyond that. But I mean, it honestly felt almost like watching those TikTok streams of the first night of, you know, the very beginning of the Eras Tour, where it just kept going and going, and you just could not believe that she did that.
Yes, exactly.
I feel like she's one-upped herself again.
Yes, literally crazy.
So, when the album came out, when the album was announced and when the album came out, I did not think that this was going to happen. I did not think, because I knew what it would require. And I thought that the Eras Tour as a brand, as a piece was gonna pretty much stay the same. I didn't expect it to change. I thought, you know, people know the 10 albums, they know the 10 era, they know the eras. It's, again, as Annie said, it's ultra rehearsed. I didn't really think there was that much
She's
room.
She's only got 10 fingers to paint. She's only got 10 fingers to paint in the eras colors.
She only has 10 fingers. That's true. She only got 10 fingers. She's got, you know, how are they going to change all the merch? How are they going to do that? How are they going to add new choreography, new this, new that? She's all over the place. She's going to football games on her days off. She's going to parties. She's going to shows. When did they rehearse this?
She cries a lot, but she's so productive.
How did they have the time? How did they have the time to put this together? How long in advance was it put together?
It was definitely way in advance. I think she, like, you know how she says that she plans things, like, years in advance? I think that she knew,
I think you're right.
Before she was going to, like, go on the Eras Tour, that she was creating this kind of album and that it would be added. And I also think, like, what was I thinking about? Oh, yeah, that it's kind of that concept of, like, you think things can't possibly get better, but then she does really outdo herself. And I think this has been such, like, a triumphant tour for her. And I also think it's just a fantastic marketing strategy of the tour, because it's almost like an entirely new show in a lot of ways.
I think that there is enough for her to extend it. And I think what you're saying about it being a brilliant marketing strategy is totally true, because this tour is so long and there's so many more dates and stops than any of her other previous tours.
Right, right.
That, you know, she needs to find ways to keep it fresh. And she doesn't need to. You know, people will just go again and again and again. But keeping it fresh keeps people interested.
Yes, you know, exactly.
And I think she seems to be, I mean, she always has been, but I think she's very aware at this point in her career that she is at the top of the top, mm-hmm. and she probably can't stay there forever, so she's going to
right.
do as much as she possibly can, mm-hmm. you know, while she's there.
Right, exactly.
I mean, and she's done me, that. This is, like, on another level. Mm-hmm. Like, the production of the section mm-hmm. is so high.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Not to mention the changes that she made to the other sections as well. New graphics, mm-hmm. a few new outfits, new stuff.
It's so beautiful.
New stuff. Yeah. A few songs cut, obviously. What's up?
I just can't believe, I think that when she dropped that Fortnite challenge and, you know, we saw her with the white microphone and, mm-hmm. you know, against that TTPD railing, it became pretty clear to us, like, okay, she's doing something. She's probably doing something.
At that point, I was convinced.
At that point, I was convinced, too, and I was really dubious before. But just the scope, I mean, mm-hmm. she always blows our minds with scope. But, you know, like, I think the fact that she had already done the theatrically released movie mm-hmm. and then the Disney Plus movie,
right.
like, it just didn't feel like she would make any changes to, even if she added it
right.
to the set as mm-hmm. is, and changing up the order of the songs and right. mixing Folklore and Evermore and changing up the orders of the eras,
mm-hmm.
I never would have expected.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, I'm completely shocked by that.
I know. And
I have a tough time. Oh, go ahead, Ramon.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, or add to that and say, yeah, I was completely gobsmacked by how much Tortured Poets Department we got, because even if I thought she was going to add some songs, I never thought it would be that many. And I will say that I feel like I've been personally anointed and I'm walking around feeling that way because of The Smallest Man Who Ever Lived and But Daddy, I Love Him being on the set list. Because I did say in our last episode that those were my absolute two favorite tracks. And I was, like, planning a mm-hmm. seance to make sure that she did those as surprise songs at the Liverpool show. But now I don't have to because she's made them part of the set list. And it's just so great because those are such incredible tracks. And I will have to physically restrain myself from not, like, getting on the ground and dramatically headbanging when that bridge comes in, because it's just the perfect song to have in a stadium.
Yeah,
speaking
that's
of the
for
set
sure.
list itself, what do you guys think about her opening with But Daddy, I Love Him? Because I thought that was kind of a jaw dropper.
Mm-hmm. I want to hear Zach's thoughts on
bold.
That.
It was bold. It was bold.
Yeah.
Before I get into that, and I would be happy to discuss that, I want to say a few things first, mm-hmm. just about how, again, just the addition of this section. I don't know if there's any other artist out there who would do something like this.
Mm-hmm.
I genuinely don't know if there's another artist out there who would, in the middle of their biggest tour, mm-hmm. make this large of a change. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anything mm-hmm. like that has ever happened before. To be fair, there's never been a tour, a concert this rehearsed before in terms of pop music. I can't think of another single artist who would make this bold of a change.
Mm.
And second,
right, especially because it was so widely loved and like everything mm. about it was iconic. The outfits, mm. the order of the eras,
mm.
the set list,
mm.
the fact that she is ballsy enough to
mm-hmm.
to change that, mm-hmm. you know, even though it was so widely acclaimed, when she could very much just sit comfortably and
right.
ride it out,
mm-hmm.
you know, is
mm-hmm.
and
ambitious.
Also, this is going to very much help with the audience's ability to connect to the album. I know, you know, fans like us, Ramal especially, have already
totally.
Connected a lot to this album, which is great, but I think seeing it live
mm-hmm.
is going mm-hmm. to add another it's
oh,
going
yeah.
to really draw a lot of people
mm-hmm.
into maybe liking this album a little
right.
bit more than they did when they just listened to it on their on streaming
mm-hmm.
or whatever, or on the vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Hearing it live, Taylor Swift, one of the best things about Taylor Swift is that she writes her songs to be played live. Mm-hmm. Always. Always. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's ever changed.
Right.
I think that she's always written her songs that way. And I think they play, I think you could argue that they play better live. I think many of her songs play better live. Some don't, but that's okay. But a lot of them do. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that there's any exception. I don't think this is an exception at all. So to circle back to But Daddy, I Love Him, and her starting with that, it was a very interesting choice. Somebody said that she's ballsy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I would describe it. Mm-hmm. I would describe it as a ballsy choice. I mean, you hear and I won't get into this too much, but you hear the rhetoric online about what some people say about this song.
Mm-hmm.
They think some people think of this song as almost an insult to her fan base.
Right.
Now, I don't think they're correct, but I think she's aware of the fact that some people think about it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because she knows what everybody's thinking about her at all times, somehow.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's an extremely bold choice.
She is, as we believe, chronically online.
Right, right.
Yeah.
She hears and sees all. Yeah. But I agree. I think it was a fantastic option, very much like out of left field, because who would expect her to start with that? But I also think that she's kind of doing it like the album does it, of pulling all of this narrative together. And that's how we get to I Can Do It With a Broken Heart right after The Smallest Man Who Ever Lived. Like, that thematically fits, and I do think they follow each other, I believe, in the album itself. And I love But Daddy, I Love Him as a choice because what were you going to say?
Does she combine, is that the one she combines with So High School?
I think so, yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, because that also ties in interestingly, because I was saying in the last episode that I sort of felt like it was her throwing herself back into her teenage mentality and sort of teenage era of music style, and combining it with So High School is really interesting in that sort of lens of viewing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, another song about how she feels like she's a high schooler, even though obviously...
Mm-hmm.
You know, based on our interpretations, the songs are about dramatically different things and different relationships.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was, I don't know if she just chose to combine them based on musical style, but, it's Taylor, so I'm sure lyrics are a huge part of the reason why she combined them, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just like the perfect earworms of everything. Like, whenever you mention a song, it's like that one specific part that like tickles that specific part of your brain. Like with The Smallest Man Who Ever Lived, just that whole like, you deserve prison, but you won't get time. And then So High School, the whole, what is it, like, you know how to ball, I know Aristotle. It plays so well in a crowd, and it keeps the energy going. Because, like, I think the songs she selected all have these, like, couplets and handfuls of lines that people just die over. And to fuse them together, I think, is so perfect because it just keeps, like, the excitement in the stadium going.
And it allows her to perform a lot more songs than she would otherwise.
True. She's kind of queen of the mashup now.
Loved it. She is embracing the mashup, which is good.
Yeah.
But I think what's more important is the fan reaction was off the chain, according to the live streams we were watching. Yeah. They were off the chain. The whole thing kind of just shocked me a little bit. It was it was one of my moments as a Swiftie that I'll remember because it was just like one of those moments where you're like, holy cow, she is going above and beyond here.
Mm-hmm.
She is taking it to another level.
Right.
This is another level.
Mm-hmm.
This is
totally.
This is
totally. Like you said, like it I said before, it felt like when I first watched the first stream of the Eras Tour, and I just, like, I was, like, emotional. I was kind of, like, moved at her, you know, like, what she has accomplished as a woman and as an artist, which has always been, you know, a huge part of the reason that I'm drawn to her so much.
Right.
But it's, you know, it's, like, she has completely... you know, maximized her ambition and succeeded wildly for it.
Yes, exactly.
Right, totally.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, speaking I think of, another thing another thing to consider is just, like, again, make, as I said before, making a change like this in the middle of a tour that's already, everybody knows works, you know, yes, Taylor Swift is always going to be successful no matter what she does, but there is still risk in making changes. Mm-hmm. Always. Right. Always, no matter what. Mm-hmm. She nailed it.
And she's under such an intense amount of scrutiny right now, maybe more than we've ever seen before. Exactly. And we've seen her under a lot of scrutiny. Mm-hmm. And this album is in large part a response to being under that amount of scrutiny.
That's a great point.
But I think when she's under that amount of scrutiny, any major changes she makes are going to be ultra scrutinized. So it is very brave to do it anyway. Mm-hmm. You know,
I can't wait. It's just
speaking of, you know, the set list itself. Mm-hmm. Oh, go ahead, Ramal. Before I switch gears.
Okay, I was just gonna say my one last thing. I think the changes to the tour have kind of rendered every Swiftie an absolute emotional wreck. And I will say, and we all know this, I don't really need to say it, but I will be psychologically unwell after the show in June. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I was starting to think about it, of standing there on the floor when The Smallest Man Who Ever Lives happens, and I will die of happiness. There's no other way to describe it. Like, it's going to be so good, and it's just so perfect that she added these songs to the tour, because it's just going to be like the best thing to scream to.
It is a little ironic to be dying of happiness during The Smallest Man Who Ever Lived.
Yeah, I mean, it's like enjoying torture, like, you know, but you love like emotional torture, like there's something like that. Like, for me, I cathartically just ride my bikes through the streets, just like playing The Smallest Man Who Ever Lived like on full blast, and like fully doing all the hand motions for the bridge. And it's like, sometimes I do think, hey, can people in their cars see me?
The album is a little masochistic in that way.
Right. Like, maybe people in their cars watch me and they're like, okay, what is that lady doing? But the thing is, it's cathartic, because it's like, I'm screaming at an invisible person that you deserve prison, but you won't get time, you know?
The way she, and that's the perfect segue, because I was going to ask what you guys thought about, you know, the specific songs and the specific performances and costumes and, you know, presentation. And speaking of that song in particular, I feel like she's performing it like she performs Illicit Affairs. Mm-hmm. You know, My Tears Ricochet into Illicit Affairs with, like, that level of passion and anguish. And I think when we saw her perform those ones, we thought, okay, these songs are fictional. But because this album doesn't seem to be as fictional, if it is, you know, fictional at all, it feels more like a, oh, she's really letting it out now, especially comparing it to I Can Do It With a Broken Heart, which is all about her putting on a happy face, you know, literally a puppet on a stage. And speaking of that song, I did want to talk about that performance a little bit, because I felt like she was, and this could just be completely my Broadway fan delusion, but I felt like she was very inspired by the musical Chicago during that, because of the, you know, both her, you know, being a marionette is sort of like the scene in Chicago, and also the scene with the...
That's not delusion. That was purposeful.
You think it was deliberate? You think it was deliberate? Also combined with the big feather fans? It felt very Chicago-inspired to me.
Also, the theme of Chicago, about what Chicago is about, totally lines up with
it's about a bunch of the album and the song and
Taylor herself. Like, that was,
it's
very
about women that have been wronged by men and, you know, kind of go crazy and become criminals and then become performers.
We also know that she's seen Chicago and she likes Chicago because of vigilante shit as well.
You're right. Yeah. And that performance heavily has a obvious cell block tango.
Yep.
You're right.
Yep.
And I think she's leaned into that again.
So you're not as unhinged as you think you are.
Maybe. The theatrics are incredible. I also think that the whole, the ringleader thing is an obvious Red Tour allusion, you know, to that iconic. That's probably, if there's one most iconic Taylor tour outfit, it's probably that one. That's probably the best known one.
Right. And that's a really good point that you make, right? Because I think on the Red Tour, right, she was performing All Too Well, like, every day. And when she wrote All Too Well, I think I remember reading about, like, the level of pain that led into the writing of such an incredible song. And I think there's an interesting parallel there of kind of her whole life. She's been through some really challenging circumstances where she felt like she is absolutely shattered. And then she still gets out there and goes on stage. And I think it's a really interesting thing to think about in the context of her getting older and maybe having some more conflicted feelings about this need to get out there on stage and smile, you know? Because I think I don't see her acknowledging the pain mm-hmm. that she feels when she has to go out on stage 10 years ago. I think she would have just felt like she couldn't acknowledge
not
her
at
own
all.
Pain. Yeah.
I do think that, you know, like Ramal was saying, she's being more willing to show that pain that she never showed before on the tour.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it also seems like, you know, and she says in the song, you know, it,
mm-hmm.
everybody thinks that I'm having the time of my life,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
but I kind of feel like she also maybe is, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like she wouldn't keep extending the tour and changing it up and adding more if she wasn't finding it at least creatively fulfilling, even if she's
right, right.
emotionally struggling.
Mm-hmm.
I think that she
right.
is feeling
let's,
very
let's not get, guys,
creatively
guys,
fulfilled
guys,
and
guys.
Proud of her work.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not get crazy here. She does this because she likes it and enjoys it, okay? This is, let's not,
yeah.
let's
yeah.
not start coming up with conspiracy theories, okay? About how she secretly doesn't like performing, which is what I see on the internet.
Okay.
People
I was like, Zach,
that,
are you accusing
because
us?
Because that is absolutely.
Hello.
She loves to perform. Yeah.
yeah.
No,
I mean,
but I'm saying
yeah.
that that's completely not,
right.
there's no accuracy to it
no,
whatsoever.
I definitely agree.
She does
yeah.
this because she loves
right.
it. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say that I think, yes, I agree that she loves performing, and I think when she performs through the pain, I was gonna say that, I don't know, like, the way she's described heartbreak before, but I feel like it's almost one of those, like, exquisite pain-type things of you're experiencing this devastation and heartbreak that you simply can't cope with, and you have to kind of shove it all down and get out there on stage and perform, but at the same time, there's something that's sort of healing about being able to do that and about being able to connect with others. I remember seeing a lot of that as the Eras Tour kicked off, and I think it's a really interesting, like, I do think it... This album ties into this idea. I couldn't, like, something that kept popping into my mind was that clip from the Katy Perry tour where I think her husband tries to, like, divorce her over text or does, and she's on tour, and she's sobbing her eyes out, and she, like, can't get out of bed and can't get up, but then she puts a smile on her face and stands up and gets lifted through the stage. I know we haven't necessarily seen a moment of Taylor like that, nor are we entitled to one, but I think that what the Tortured Poets Department describes and what I Can Do It With a Broken Heart kind of describes is that difficulty of having to live so much of your life in the public eye and be so conscious of your image that in all these different environments, you never really get to break down and be your true self. But to Zach's point and credit, I do think that there's a certain vulnerability she demonstrates on tour where there's this level of maybe emotional processing going on because a lot of people are right there along with her, you know, like in the way she talks about All Too Well and what that means to her. I think it's something similar to that, if that makes sense.
She cried at our show.
Yeah, I think you're right.
We know this.
Right.
She did.
She cried at our show during
she
All
did,
Too Well.
Famously,
we know this.
Mm-hmm.
Not during All Too Well, during I Don't Want to Live Forever.
Right. Yeah.
Which is a notorious
mm-hmm.
Surprise song performance.
Right.
I actually didn't notice when we saw her
mm-hmm.
that she was crying. But,
right.
you know, that later kind of became
mm-hmm.
a really famous
mm-hmm.
surprise song performance in,
right.
in the Swiftie community. But... Yeah, I mean, I feel like it reminds me of course, the famous All Too Well Grammys performance, which is definitely one of her
mm-hmm.
most emotionally raw performances ever.
Right.
And I sort of wonder if her choosing
mm-hmm.
songs like The Smallest Man Who Ever Lived, which is
mm-hmm.
definitely one of her most searing
right.
songs, both
mm-hmm.
on this album and in general,
mm-hmm.
if maybe she chose that to kind of...
Mm-hmm.
get the chance to emotionally process that,
mm-hmm.
you know. She did choose that and not So Long London,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. which is interesting. And I think that's maybe also just because
right.
I personally think that The Smallest Man Who Ever Lived is a stronger song
mm-hmm.
than So Long London, and
mm-hmm.
I think she probably chose the songs that
mm-hmm.
she is most proud of and wants to perform
mm-hmm.
the most, but, you know.
Right.
I was kind of surprised to not see the title track.
Right. Well, oh yeah, the Tortured Poets.
I kind of thought
yeah,
that.
Yeah. You're right.
Yep. I think what I was most anticipating
mm-hmm.
was that she would do Fortnite and that she would do Tortured Poets Department.
Right, right.
And I was surprised she didn't do the second one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think the set is spectacular. I'm not disappointed.
Right.
I was just surprised.
Yeah. I mean, I think her way of doing it, I guess, is like the little line in the beginning, which is crazy, like to add that to the Eras when she like comes out for Cruel Summer. Or not, sorry, Cruel Summer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not. Comes out for Miss Americana and the Heartbreak Prince. Like, I think there's the line of, like, straight
yes.
film, the Tortured Poets Department. But yes, I agree. It's interesting that she chose to leave that off. But there was something else I was going to say in response to what you were talking about. I think this is what just something I'm picturing in my mind. It's sort of the emotionally evocative nature of her songs, where I feel like even if you haven't had the exact experiences that she might be describing or narrating and singing about, that there's this weird but perfect, almost like ephemeral emotional connective tissue that you can feel building and connecting everyone in the stadium. And it's just such a heady feeling that it's hard to describe, but it's what causes you to just burst into tears during some of the happiest songs and collapse on the floor just because of all of the intensity of the emotions that she's evoking. And I think there's something about her vulnerability that definitely contributes to that emotion in the stadium.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or at least
I couldn't have said it better myself.
Perceived vulnerability.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I couldn't have said it better myself. I mean, I think song? In some ways we're not good at not talking over each other.
Yes, this is what happens when we have a completely unplanned, spontaneous right. episode.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think it's also...
Go ahead, Zach.
Yeah, go ahead, Zach. Next time.
I think Ramon kind of just summed up what Taylor Swift is all about, just in those, mm-hmm. in that little short description, mm-hmm. which I think that was a really effective way of describing what it's like to be at the tour. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, totally.
Yeah, agreed. I do think we should kind of give our final thoughts...
Yeah.
Sure. Totally.
Yeah. I mean, my final thoughts are just that I absolutely cannot wait. I was just telling everybody today that I made the absolute right decision buying this ticket a year ago and saying to myself, I'm going to find a way to Liverpool because, I don't know, it's not that I knew that she would do this, but I feel that some sort of internal prophecy for me, oh, shout out to Prophecy on the TTPD album, but some sort of prophecy was telling me that she was going to do something crazy. And so I'm just so excited to get to see it. And lose my mind, and it's just so incredible that we have this like almost entirely new tour to like now enjoy and make kind of a part of the Swiftie family.
I know. I totally agree. And also another shout out to Prophecy because that is my mom's favorite track.
Excellent on the taste. Album.
But I am really interested to see, you know, because she did tape today, you know, if this is going to be some sort of bonus feature, maybe on the Disney Plus mm-hmm. edition, because I think we're definitely getting some sort of a video of this. And one of the craziest things I think about the changeup was because the movie's already out. Mm-hmm. But I was so delighted and blown away again, you know, by mm-hmm. the song choices. Oh, and I'll just say this as my final comment. I thought that her performance of Who's Afraid of Little Old Me, mm-hmm. you know, I liked the song, but I loved the performance, and it's mm-hmm. totally changed my perspective on the song in a way that, like, the My Tears Ricochet performance mm-hmm. did, and I just think the way that she was, like, working that pole up there was, like, one of her best performances mm-hmm. that I've seen. I think she's absolutely fantastic.
Mm-hmm. It was excellent. Yes, I agree.
Yep, agreed. She's a performer. Her songs are better in many cases when she performs live. Mm-hmm. It elevates the songs. It makes songs that you didn't love. It makes you love them. That will certainly be the case for many people when they see this version of the tour. This is next level stuff. She did an excellent, excellent job. Brilliant. I have nothing but positive things to say about it. I think it's goat stuff. I think it's exquisite. And those are my final thoughts.
Yay. All right. Well, I certainly look forward to the Torture Triumvirate convening next week at its regularly scheduled time. But this emergency
we'll be back.
Convention was excellent. Yeah.
Normal. Yes, it was great.
It was awesome.
All right, everybody. We'll see you soon.
All right. See ya.